Монголын дуу хоолой радио ярьж байна.
The Voice of Mongolia in English is speaking. Сайн байна уу? Welcome to the Voice of Mongolia in English, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. This half-hour transmission can be heard in Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC at 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also visit our website at www.vom.mn/en and listen to an online version of our daily broadcast.
Welcome to the Voice of Mongolian English. On today's mailbox program, Robert and I will review some letters sent by our listeners last week. Before we introduce some of your letters, we will update you on the recent news in Mongolia. So please stay tuned. Here is the news. President of Mongolia to launch Light Industries White Gold National Campaign. The President of Mongolia, Hulusi Hukna, is set to launch the White Gold National Campaign to revitalize the light industry, aiming at stimulating the economic circulation of animal-derived raw materials, creating new jobs in the sector, increasing the production of value-added products, boosting herders' incomes, and improving livelihoods. The White Gold National Campaign will give a strong impetus towards enhancing legislation, investment, financing, tax environments, and raw materials preparation systems, improving the utilization of the factory's current production capacity, modernizing techniques and equipment, and increasing the share of the light industry in the domestic and international market. With the successful implementation of the national campaign, sales revenue of the Kashmir industry is estimated to rise 4 to 5-fold, while sales revenue of leather, hide, and sheepskin could see a 2 to 3-fold increase. Officials of companies and professional associations identify the needs for achieving these goals as improving raw material quality, establishing an animal registration system, fostering better connections between herders and industry, creating a unified system for raw materials preparation, supply, processing and production, and implementing personal training programs. The Food Supply and Security National Campaign enabled enterprises that received loans for leather and hide preparation and production to procure raw materials and auxiliary materials exceeding 14 billion Mongolian tugriks in 2022. In Mongolia, approximately 44,000 people are employed across 3,200 enterprises and factories in industries including wool, Kashmir, leather, wood, wooden furniture, sewing products, clothing, printing, packaging, recycling, cosmetics, and household chemicals.
Okay, our next story, Ulaanbaatar cable car project breaks ground. On April 4, 2024, a groundbreaking ceremony for the cable car transport project, funded by a soft loan from the French government to alleviate traffic congestion in Ulaanbaatar city, was held in Yermak, Ulaanbaatar. At the ceremony, the ambassador of the French Republic to Mongolia highlighted, "I'm happy that Ulaanbaatar will adopt a modern French public transport cable car system. I firmly believe that its introduction will significantly alleviate traffic congestion in Ulaanbaatar. The Puma Group has extensive experience in giant or in global cable car transportation services and is executing this project. Our research suggests Ulaanbaatar is an ideal location for cable car transport. Though Ulaanbaatar is a cold, windy and mountainous city, a cable car system suits it well. Following the groundbreaking ceremony, approximately 20 pylons, cables, as well as materials for the two cable car terminal stations will be imported from France. Accordingly, a 4.2-kilometer cable car line with two stops and 19 pylons will be built between Artsat of Yarmouk and the first micro district. The cable car route will take about 12 minutes one way and will be installed crossing over the Tall River, which flows through Ulaanbaatar. It will have 98 cabins with a capacity of up to 10 passengers each and will have a total capacity of about 2,300 passengers per hour. An all-electric, accessible cable car system will be environmentally friendly and able to transport people with special needs, strollers and even bicycles with an adjustable seat. It can also withstand cold and winds of up to 75 kilometers per hour. Officials have emphasized that the first cable car line will be commissioned in the second quarter of 2025.
Children born and living in the United States to learn Mongolian. For Mongolian children born and raised in the United States, the Mongolian Language and Culture Camp program, which is organized every summer, will be held from June 23rd to July 5th this year. The program is spreading the Mongolian language and culture through art forms such as dance and music. The training was initiated by Dr. Saro Lirten, a Mongolian book specialist from the U.S. Library of Congress, and Naran Tsitsuk, a Mongolian language and culture teacher at the University of Pennsylvania. This year, professional teachers of the fiddle, dance, and saxophone music from Mongolia will be invited to teach lessons. The Mongolian Language and Culture Camp program will be held in two states at the Tibetan Mongolian Buddhist Cultural Center in Bloomington, Indiana. During the first round, 8 to 12-year-olds will be participating from June 23rd to 28, and 13 to 16-year-olds will be taking part from June 3rd to July 5th. Children who want to participate in the program can be officially registered at heritagemongolian@gmail.com email address or through the link on the website of the Heritage Mongolia organization.
Okay, construction work safety promoted. The Minister of Construction and Urban Development organized a conference on safe construction, safe environment and safe operation in Orkhon Province with the participation of management personnel, employees, enterprises, governmental and non-governmental organizations, as well as professional associations from the construction industry of all 21 provinces. At the event, the Ministry of Labor and Social Discussion discussed the state's policies on occupational safety and health, prevention of potential accidents and injuries in the construction industry, their causes and conditions, protection of the life and health of employees, occupational safety, health and standards in the workplace, as well as meeting the requirements and creating the conditions for working and living in a healthy and safe environment for employees and citizens, as well as the violations revealed by the inspection conducted in 2023 and the issues to be considered in the future. In connection with the rapid development of buildings and construction work, the number of industrial accidents in the construction industry is not decreasing, and there are many problems such as the death of people or of people losing the ability to work. Nationwide, about 180 industrial accidents were registered in the construction sector over the last 5 years. Considering the causes of these accidents, 40% of all accidents were caused by falling from a height, stumbling or slipping, while 17% were caused by being trapped under objects and 16% by being hit by falling objects. Well, that's all the news for today. Now, before we review our listeners' mails and emails, let us take a short musical break.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to The Voice of Mongolia. We will now review our mailbox for this week, looking at listeners' reports and feedback we have received during the last week. We'll review the emails and also answer some questions if our listeners have sent any. Please take a seat and stay with us. Today's first mail was sent by Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Let's read out what he wrote. Dear Voice of Mongolia, This is to state that I have enjoyed the comprehensive and informative account of the greatest Mongol warrior, Genghis Khan, in the Voice of Mongolia's fourth edition in the series Mongolia in the 30th Century, Rise of the Great Empire. On the 20th of March, Voice of Mongolia presented Genghis Khan's encounter with the Muslim world. After conquering China, he entered the prosperous and powerful Khwarizm Empire in what is now Afghanistan and Iran. But the Muhammad II, its ruler, showed disrespect to Genghis Khan's army for being formed of nomadic tribes. Muhammad II's army was never a match for Genghis Khan's well-trained attacking cavalry forces, which were strategically regrouped after being divided into smaller groups following the principle of all or nothing. Moreover, he had a well-organized team of doctors, engineers, and powerful war machinery to back up his large army. Genghis Khan's highest military achievement was the ultimate conquest of Central Asia, where he proved himself to be a master planner who could understand human psychology as well as his adversary's weaknesses. His successes were not mere magic, but came out of hard, persistent work. Even in the 13th century, the Mongols were much advanced in the effective use of psychological warfare for terrorizing enemy forces. Genghis Khan has often been accused of being brutal and ruthless. However, history has shown that he was often forgiving, but never forgave betrayal or treachery as a matter of principle. Through this episode, I learned many new aspects of Genghis Khan's character and why arguably he is considered as one of the greatest military genius of all time. Thank you for sharing what you've learned, Jayanta.
Our next email was sent by Ashraq Iqbal from Bangladesh. Dear Voice of Mongolia English Service Team, I hope this email finds you all in great spirits and excellent health. As a dedicated listener to the Voice of Mongolia, I'm writing to you with immense joy and excitement as we approach the festive season of Eid al-Fitr and Bengali New Year. On April the 11th, Muslims from around the world, including myself, will be celebrating Eid al-Fitr, marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan. This is a time of joy, gratitude and reflection for Muslims. As after the main prayer of Eid, we come together with family and friends to share meals, exchange gifts and express our gratitude for the blessings we have received throughout Ramadan. Just a few days later, on the 14th, we Bengalis, the Bengali community, will celebrate Pohela Boksha, which marks the first day of the Bengali New Year. Pohela Boksha is not just a date on the calendar, but rather a vibrant cultural celebration that fills the air with excitement and anticipation. This day begins with traditional rituals, which people dressed in colourful attire, the most popular being the traditional Bengali attire of Punjabi for men and sari for women. The streets come alive with music, dance and festivities as people gather to welcome the new year with open arms. One of the highlights of the Bengali New Year is the village fair known as Mela, where people from all walks of life come together to enjoy various forms of entertainment, indulge in delicious Bengali cuisine and shop for traditional handcrafts and souvenirs. The fair is a kaleidoscope of colors, with stalls adorned with vibrant decorations and filled with the sounds of laughter and chatter. Another cherished tradition of the Bengali New Year is the ritual of opening new business ledgers. Business owners decorate their shops with fresh flowers and colorful ribbons, inviting customers to start the new year with prosperity and good fortune. It's a time of optimism and new beginnings as people set goals and aspirations for the year ahead. As a listener to the Voice of Mongolia, I've always admired the diverse and inclusive programming you provide. Your programming showcases the richness of Mongolian culture, while also cultural understanding and fostering connections between people of different backgrounds is truly commendable. In light of these upcoming festivities, I want to thank the entire team of the Voice of Mongolian English Service for your dedication and hard work in bringing informative and entertaining content to your listeners. Your voices have become a familiar and cherished part of our lives, and I look forward to tuning in to your program throughout the festive season and beyond. On behalf of the Voice of Mongolia, Wave Hunters Bangladesh and myself, I extend our warm wishes to you and all our joyous Eid al-Fitr and a happy Bengali New Year. May those celebrations bring joy to your loved ones and abundant happiness, prosperity and blessings. Thank you again for your outstanding service, and I eagerly anticipate continuing to be part of the Voice of Mongolian community for many more celebrations to come. Thank you, sir, with your happy Bengali New Year and Eid al-Fitr, and all to our South Asian listeners.
Okay, today's last mail we're going to read was sent by Najimuddin, another West Bengali listener of our radio. He sent us his reception report. He listened to the April 6th program. His location was in Murshidabad, West Bengali, India. The time was between 9 to 9:30 UTC. The frequency was 12085 kHz. He asked about the national emblem of Mongolia. Here is the answer. The national emblem of Mongolia is used by the government of Mongolia as its symbol of state. It is officially used, for example, on documents such as Mongolian passports and government and embassy placards. Let us describe the shape of our national emblem. The outer rim of the emblem features a Tumunnasam pattern symbolizing eternity, surrounding a circular blue field symbolizing the sky. In the center of the field is a combination of the Soyum symbol and the treasured steed, symbolizing Mongolia's independence, sovereignty, and spirit. Sun, moon, and fire symbols derived from the Xiongnu or Hunnu Empire. Above the field is a Chanmen representing the Buddhist three jewels, which in Mongolian folklore grants wishes. Below the central emblem is a green mountain range with the wheel of Dharma at the center. On the bottom of the mountain range and wheel is a hatak, a ceremonial scarf. From 1960 to 1991, the Mongolian People's Republic used an emblem with a very similar shape, but with several differing elements. Instead of the wind horse, a horseman on a normal horse is shown. In the background, the sun rises above mountains. The Buddhist symbols were replaced by symbols of socialism. A gear wheel stands for industrialization, sheaves around the perimeter stand for the farming class, and the top featured a red star with the socialist version of the Soyum. Along the bottom, a blue-red ribbon is replaced in front of the gear wheel with the abbreviation for Mongolian People's Republic. The current state emblem was adopted in February 12, 1992, when the new constitution came into force.
Okay, this is the end of our today's mailbox program. Thank you for tuning in to VOM, to Voice of Mongolian English, and I hope you take care until our next program.
Goodbye.
Зивергин салхин хөвсөн үлэхэд зүдлэгтэй тамин дарсан өчэ хога хүлээсэн ихин сэтгэлээ хүрээ дэрлэгэд зэрэглэ чи хорохгүй манан Дондас, саравчлах и джидин,
маргаш хүүхчин очно гэдгийг шовоод дуулаа. Сарна одот та тингрэн шүтэн гуйч цагийн мортыг товчлон нисч танда ирлэби. Сарна одот та тингрэн шүтэн гуйч цагийн мортыг товчлон нисч танда ирлэби. Сэтгэлийн жиндүүлхэд тэнгэрээс хүүгээ ирүүлхийг гуйсан уу ээжээ. Хоног таарсан ихийн сэтгэлийн холоос гэрэлтэх од дэнгэн бааж хурахгүй. Сураг чимээлсэн эчид мин сарын нэхэнд очно гэдгийг шовоод дуулаа. Уйрлын дээд нэмчин сэтгэлтэ Монгол эче очролдо тайтгарч одов амгодон сонота сансанда таныга хүн санса. Сарна одот та тэнгэрэн шүтэн гуйч цагийн мортыг товчлон нисч танда ирлэби. Сарна одот та тэнгэрэн шүтэн гуйч цагийн мортыг товчлон нисч танда ирлэби.
That's the end of the program, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The Voice of Mongolia provides half-hour transmission to Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12.085 kHz, and in Europe at 1430 UTC on 12.015 kHz shortwave. You can also download the phone application MNB Radio and listen to all the programs of Voice of Mongolia. Your emails and letters are most welcome with your feedbacks and detailed reception report. Please either email them to vom_en@yahoo.com or send them to the English section, The Voice of Mongolia, CPO Box 365, Ulaanbaatar 13, Mongolia. Thank you for listening. Baishte.